So it's the yard site of...
So the, today's the yard site of Ralph Chaim Vital, who was the main student of the Ari HaKadosh. The Ralph Chaim Vital famously came to the Ari. At that time, the Ari was huge. His students were also huge. Like, students of the Ari include like Rabbi Yosef Karo, the author of the Shulchan Aruch, the Beit Yosef, and other great students. And Rav Chaim Vital came to the Ari and said to the Ari HaKadosh, "Look, I'm not worthy to be part of your chabura here, part of your little group of huge Talmidim." The Ari HaKadosh said to Rav Chaim Vital, "You should know that the only reason I came down to this world was to teach you Torah. As I'm only here for you. Don't make a mistake here."
Wow. And what time period was this?
This is in Sfat in period of, I think, if I'm not mistaken, it would be about
1700s?
Yeah, I was going to guess around then. Yeah, that's what I would. Somewhere around then. 200 years ago.
Like just right after the Baal Shem Tov, or around that period?
Yeah, I'm just trying to think whether it was before or after. Let's see what the connection is. Before. Anyway, so it's Kev is only 10 minutes away from my house, in a place called Kiryat Malachi, which is a tiny town which for sure didn't exist 200 years ago. I don't know why he's buried there or what he's doing there, why he's not in Sfat with the Ari and the rest of the Sadiqim up there. No idea. But I haven't yet found out. So I only found out yesterday that he was actually there, so I don't know anything about him. I'm like, why is there? So when it was nice, they had a hilulah, they, you know, all the dignitaries from the town were there, there was a few hundred people there. It's very pleasant. Very nice.
I see the angel of Venus as well.
Yeah. It's amazing who you have on your doorstep. You don't even know. There's some great books. There's one in English, big book, on Kivrei Tzadikim, up and down the country, where to find them. Different Kivrei Tzadikim. But many that they don't mention more.
Just down the block.
Right. Here, yeah. I mean, they're not.
I mean, we're at what, 10-minute walk from Shimonoside?
Right.
And the Hilulah there was...
Oh, you went to that?
Yeah. With Rav Nisha.
Right.
We just walked over. It was just...
Oh, during the day?
Yeah, yeah.
Wow. When is that? What time of year?
No, sorry?
What time of the year is
it? It was... 4 months ago? It was recent.
Uh-huh.
I mean, time just flies by so fast.
Right. Let's learn a little bit of Sanhedrin. Okay. So we looked
Ted
at...
Tet Vav Amud Bet.
Tet Vav Amud Bet. We looked at...
About halfway down?
Look. Ain Danin. About two-thirds of the way down. About 10 lines from the bottom. Two dots.
Oh. Where was the list of the animals that were supposed to be tried by quarter 23?
So they're mentioned on this page, but only the first two.
Right.
The dog and the Ari.
Right.
But on the mission, on the first Daf Bet Ahmad Aleph, is the list of all of them.
That's why I couldn't find it.
Two A3.
Okay, good.
Yeah. Okay. So you know who to bring to court. You know who to bring to court.
Who?
Any of those. If you ever get into a situation, you'll have to remember which one you can shoot and which one you can bring to court.
You mean as a solicitor?
No, as an as a person strolling through the woods, and saving someone from a wild beast, and you have to check what type of wild beast it is before you decide whether or not you're going to kill it. Although I'm not sure who we follow. Let's see, do we see? Here we got a. Do we see who we follow? I think we follow the Tanakh Hammer. Let's see. Yeah, it looks like we follow the law that says, yeah, that you have to bring them to court. We don't follow Rabbi Eliezer, who says you can just kill them anyway.
Mm-hmm.
We follow the Tanakh Hammer, who says you have to bring them to court. So, there we go. But we haven't got a Sanhedrin at the moment. So,
right.
So, you don't have to worry about it, you can kill it.
Well, also, you know, paying attorney fees? If they win?
Well, they can make a claim. The animal has to fill out a claim form.
Oh, don't worry. Between
stamp it with his paw.
Between peace now and...
save the dolphin.
And save the whales.
Yes.
And Greenpeace, I'm sure they'll find enough attorneys.
Yes. Yoshi. Okay. So we finished with the animals. And now, what's the next bit of the Mishnah? What's the next bit of the Mishnah? The next bit of the Mishnah said, Ein Danim et ha. Ein Danim, we don't judge. Lo et ha-shevet. I'm reading now from the Mishnah on Daf Bet. We don't judge the Shevet, the tribe, the light a Navi, nor a prophet, nor Navi Sheker, not a false prophet, and not the Kohen Gadol. Ella al pi beitin shivim yachad. So we need 71 to judge a tribe. Hey, good morning. Psh, I recognize you.
Love
your
toe. Good to see you too.
Yeah. So we don't judge the tribe, the false prophet, or the Kohen Gadol, except in a Beit Din of 71. So the Gemara now is going to deal with that first one, the tribe. We don't judge a tribe. He's going to ask the question, what does it mean that you don't judge a tribe?
A tribe that's practicing adultery. Idolatry. Adultery is sota.
Okay. So the Gemara wants to know, Hai Shevet Dechatamai, what did the tribe do that warrants it going to the Beit Din of 71? That's a big thing. To go to a Beit Din of 71, it's not just for anything, right? tribe's got to do, you know, the tribe.
Something major.
Yeah. So, Ilema Shevet Shechilat Shemet. Let's say, for example, let's pick something pretty severe that gives you karet, or that gives you stoning if you do it on purpose. It's like breaking Shabbos. And see, maybe that's what we're talking about. So the Gemara tries that first and suggests, what about...
Where are you?
15b3, down here.
Okay.
Okay, so the Gemara says maybe we're talking about breaking Shabbos. Is that the sin for which we would take the tribe to the big Sanhedrin? So then the Gemara tries that out. Kilu tries it on for size to see if it fits. Emar, but say, the palig rachmana bein yechidim lemurubim. Do we argue, do we make a difference that Hashem makes a difference between, or the Torah makes a difference between individuals and multitudes, right? What's he talking about? Talking about the question, why would it be that if the tribe committed any sin, you should make a difference between one member of the tribe and the whole tribe? Right? If one member of the tribe commits a sin, if it's a monetary offence, so they go to a Beit Din of 3. And if it's a capital offence, they go to a Beit Din of 23. What makes it different that suddenly, when a lot of people do the same crime, we're going to move them up to the big court? What's the logic in doing that?
The only logic would be if it's something major, such as idol worshipping.
Why?
Other people are influencing other people to do it. I mean,
okay.
Breaking Shabbos, you have individuals.
Yeah.
Stealing, you have individuals. They're not going to convince, a thief is not going to convince someone to steal
normally.
Whereas idol worship, you have the whole media doing that.
Yofi. So let's say I agree with you on that. But why then? What's the logic that tells me you need to move that from a court of 23 to a court of 71? You can still take them all to court. Take them all to court at 23 and kill them all. Do whatever you like. But why move it out of the normal court, which an individual would go to, and move it to a bigger court?
Because with idol worshipping, you not only kill everyone, you destroy the entire city. You destroy all the cattle. And everything else.
Yofi.
And
so
you basically nuke the place.
You do, but only in one case. That's called Irnir Dachat, a subverted city.
Right.
But we're not talking about subverted city. Because a subverted city is a thing by itself. The Gemara, the Mishnah, the Gemara here is not saying, in the case of a subverted city, you go to a court of 21. No. He's telling you something different. He's saying, in the case of a tribe, you go to the court of 71. So
what about
the
case where, what was it? Benjamin.
Yes.
And the concubine.
Yes.
That
wasn't a tribe on trial.
I'm sort of like really vague about it. But I mean, like, that's the only example I could think of at the top of my head.
Okay, so that counts as a tribe being tried. They didn't do anything. So the tribe, the tribe didn't do anything.
But there was a civil war over this, wasn't there?
They had a fight over it, but the tribe didn't make the mistake. The guy made the mistake. One bloke took the woman, chopped her up into pieces, and sent them right. Or, and the woman got attacked by a few people. She didn't get attacked by the whole tribe. So it went to war over it. Yofi, because... But there was no judgment of the tribe because they did a sin.
Because they did have a court of 71, right?
They did have a Sanhedrin, right? They had a Sanhedrin.
So they could have taken him there.
So here the Gemara is saying, Tevav Amud Bet. The Gemara is saying, so why is it? It doesn't seem logical to change the court just because a lot of people are doing the same sin. You can judge them all individually in the court where they should be judged individually. Why move it? Doesn't make sense. So the Gemara answers, Le'inyan avodat kochavim. It does in the case of idol worship. You're right. Normally, it doesn't make sense. Just because a lot of people steal, we're gonna have a special court. No, if a lot of people steal, so take them all to court. If a lot of people break each other's, so take them all to court at the same court. You don't have to change the court system just because there's now a lot of people doing it instead of a few people doing it. No difference.
So with idol worshipping, when you have other people subverting and pressuring other people to start worshipping idols, then it passes on.
It doesn't matter. If you have 10 people, you have a band of missionaries going around influencing people to be idol worshippers.
Like the cow building.
Right. We don't send them to the great Sanhedrin.
We should.
We send them to the small Sanhedrin and we kill them.
Right.
In the small Sanhedrin, but we don't need the great Sanhedrin.
Which we should.
Why? Oh,
no.
Mistake. Right. In theory, right? We would send them to the small one. Just because there's a lot of them doing it and they're influencing other people and it's a big problem. So what? We've got a process.
I mean, you know, the only thing we're doing now is closing down the restaurant.
All right, don't know anything about that. Okay, Tov. So the Gemara answers, you're right. Normally we wouldn't. Any other sin in the Torah, we don't. We've got a process for. But we do have a precedent for idol worship being judged by the court of 71.
Okay.
Right? Where, and what's the difference? Well, and that's the Elah B'Shevet, that's the Irim near Dachat, right? The city that all goes to idol worship. And there, so what's the Gemara saying? The Gemara is saying, it's not saying there is a sin which is so bad that you need to go to the big court. It's not saying that. It's saying there is a sin where we see in the Torah that there's a difference between courts, whether a few people do it or the whole town's doing it. I've got a precedent in the Torah for changing the court depending on how many people are doing it. And that precedent is in the case of idol worship. And it's only because I'm following that precedent whereby the Torah tells me in a few people doing it, court of 23. The whole town, 71. That's the only reason I can look at that template and try and apply it here to the Shevet and say, when you tell me the Shevet needs to go to 71, so it must be the same case, must also be idol worship.
Right, but it's even more severe when you go to 71.
Right.
Because then they're destroying not only the whole town, but everything in the town, plus the cattle, plus the property, plus
fair. Deals. That's in the Ir Nirdachat. So what do you say about the tribe? Are we going to do that for the tribe? We don't know. Who says the tribe is all going to be destroyed?
We don't know.
Maybe because a normal idol worshipper that gets put on trial, so he gets killed. Nobody touches his donkey.
What's stoning?
Stoning. No, yeah. Nobody touches his donkey. Nobody touches his CD collection, right? Now, in the case of an Ir Nirdachat, we kill the donkey and we burn the CDs. Right? We do the whole thing.
Nuke the place.
Right, because that's a special law. So here, in the case of a tribe, what do we know in the case of a tribe? We know in the case of the tribe so far that we're going to move, if there is a whole tribe, or maybe the majority of a tribe, committing idol worship, we're going to move their judicial process out of the court of 23 and move it to the 71. But we don't know that we're going to change the punishment. We just might stick him in a different court. Doesn't necessarily mean that we're also changing and we're going to destroy everything and burn down the town, whatever, whatever. And anyone who's... Also, the difference is, there's a major difference between the two. which is in the case of in Dhaka, a subversive city, we kill them all. Anyone who's not left, who's like left part of that group. Right, whereas an idol worshiper, you just kill the idol worshiper. You don't kill his whole family and his dog and his cat and whatever else. In the end of Dhaka, you destroy the town. Although you do, I think, Blineda, give the inhabitants who are not worshipping idols a chance to leave. And if they choose not to, then they also get destroyed.
And turns into Sodom and Gomorrah.
Which is way why you can say over there, if you want to use logic, you can say over there, that's why you need the court of 71. Because you're also killing other people and doing other things.
Well, in that case, you deal the precedence.
Sodom
and Gomorrah.
Right. Although Hashem did that.
Yeah. But I mean, it's still a precedent.
Right. Okay. So that's the Gemara's first attempt at trying to work out what is it that the tribe did that would require it to go to the big Sanhedrin. We're going to question that. Book it up. Sorry?
I'm Gross.
No, I'm Ruben Levy, but nice to meet you.
I'm Yohan Nathan, Darren.
You're referring to that?
Without a shame. Okay. I spoke to him.
Hanan is probably downstairs.
Okay.
I can take you to him now, or you can sit with us and
sure,
where we're going.
I'm going to tell you.
Okay. So we're learning Sanhedrin.
Okay.
On Tet Vav Amud Bet. We're about two thirds of the way down the page, about 10 lines from the bottom. Learning the law of what happens with a tribe. A tribe, the Mishnah told us that a tribe is judged by the large Sanhedrin. The Gemara wants to know why. Does it make sense? What sin would it have committed to give it that status of going to the Great Sanhedrin? If it committed a normal sin, then each of the tribe members who committed that sin should be tried in that court, whether it's a court of 23 or a normal Beit Din. So the Gemara answers must be that we're talking about idolatry. Idolatry, we have a precedent for taking what should normally be dealt with in a court of 23. And in the case of an Ir Nidafat, a town that's all gone to idol worship, we take it out of there and take it up to the big court of 71. So we see over there that the Torah, Hashem, makes a difference between individuals committing a crime and multitudes committing, but only in the case of idolatry. So it must be, the Gemara says, that when the Mishnah says that the tribe is judged by the court of 71, that it's talking about only the case of idol worship. That's the only case where you would change the judicial process and go to a higher court, because otherwise, why would you bother? If a lot of people commit the same sin, just when a lot of people come to court. You don't need to change the court system just because there's a lot of people doing the same action. But the Gemara is going to question that to see if it's not happy with the announcer. Why not? The Memra. The Vedina de Rabim Dayanim Le. Shall we say that we judge according to the law of the many? We judge it. If you want to say that this is true, that just like the law of a subverted town, just like the law of the idol worshippers of the town, so too the tribe. It doesn't seem to work. Why not? Because we've got a brayta that seems to go against that. The Gemara now brings that brayta. It says, command, who would this follow? Lo k'Rabbi Yoshiah, v'lo k'Rabbi Yonatan. We've got a brayta of Rabbi Yoshiah and Rabbi Yonatan, who talk about the criteria you require for a subverted city. And it doesn't appear to go with either of their opinions. Why not? So let's see what the brayta says. Titania, it says in a brighter, Ad kama osin ir nirdachat. How many people does it take to have an ir nirdachat? So we've got, first opinion is Yud v'ad Kuf. What's Yud?
10.
And Kuf? 100. From 10 to 100. So according to Divrei Rabbi Yoshia, Rabbi Yoshia says, an ir nirdachat is a very specific case. It's a small town between 10 and 100 people. It's a village, frankly.
Or smaller than that.
If you're lucky, right? They probably don't have supermarket there. Right? They've got a little makolet in the corner. It's a small town of between 10 and 100 people. Only that is called a nirdachat. Right? Any more or any less wouldn't be. Rabbi Yonatan on there, Rabbi Yonatan has a different opinion. Mikuf v'ad rubo shel shevet. Rabbi Yonatan says, no, it's bigger than that. From 100, 100 is the smallest, not the largest. 100 is the smallest town. From the 100 until how big? The rubo shel shevet. Until the majority of a tribe. I don't know how many is in a tribe, it depends on. But tens of thousands, right? But only up until the majority. So what does the Gemara say? The Gemara now says, "Ba'afilu Rabbi Yonatan lo kama ela wubo." So even Rabbi Yonatan, who has the higher amount, says that the subverted city is only up. Less than the majority, up until the majority. So less than the majority of a tribe. Right? Aval kulolo, but not the whole tribe. So it doesn't seem to fit, because our Mishnah says that the tribe is judged by the big Sanhedrin. So if the tribe is judged, that doesn't apparently go with the law of a subverted city, which is what we want to take our precedent from. We want to learn from the law of a subverted city that you can go to the big Sanhedrin when, in the case of many people. But apparently not that many. Less than half the tribe. So it doesn't appear that we can rely on that as a good explanation for what the Mishnah means. So Gemara tries again with a different view. Amar Rav Matna. So Rav Matna says as follows: Hacha b'nasi shevet shechata askina. So Rav Matna gives a different interpretation. It says when the Mishnah comes along and says that the tribe is judged by the 71, it doesn't mean the tribe. It actually means the nasi of the tribe. Right. So, which also fits not too badly with our Mishnah itself, because the Mishnah, when it listed it, the Mishnah on Daf Bet Amobetz listed the Shevet with, along with Ein Danin Loita Shevet, Loita Navi Sheker, Loita Kohen Gadol. So it listed a Shevet and Navi Sheker, the false prophet, and the Kohen Gadol. So let's say here that the Shevet isn't really the whole tribe, it's just the Nasi. And then it fits nicely because you've got three individuals then in that category. The head of the Shevet, the false prophet.
The other situation is off because you have an entire tribe versus right. Two individuals.
Right. So it's not conclusive, right? Because you can list different things. But Rav Matna says that maybe our Mishnah is actually means when it says Shevet, it means the head of the Shevet. And he gets special attention. Right, just like the Kohen Gadol and the head of the Shevet should also be taken to the highest court. For his own kavod, right, you wouldn't judge. Right, if you're, I don't know, they have, occasionally in this country, they have court cases against the high individuals of the land.
Omer's still going on.
And they would take him to the local court. They'll take him to one of the high courts and put the supreme judges on there, right? Because it's kavod for the, so to speak, lehevdil, for the individual. So maybe that's the case. And the Gemara gives us a source for that. How do I know that's a possibility? We're going to come back and not go with that as the answer, but Rav Mandler brings a source for his suggestion. And he says as follows: Milama, did we not say? Milama Rav Ada Ba Ahava. Did Rav Ada Ba Ahava not say the following? Kol Ada Ba Gadol Yavu Alecha. Right, it says in the Torah in Shmot, Kol Ada Ba Gadol Yavu Alecha. Every great matter they will bring to you. Right, when Yitro came along and suggested to Moshe that instead of judging all of the cases himself, he convene a court system and have heads of the 50, the 100, the 1,000, the 10,000, whatever they were. So the largest court was the Sanhedrin. That's when they introduced the 70 elders. But the really difficult cases, Yitro said, let them bring the difficult stuff to you. The stuff they can't handle, they can bring to you, and everything else can be judged by the other court. So Rav Adabahava says that this is a source for what Rav Matna told us. How? The Rav Shel Gadol, instead of reading it that Kol Devar HaGadol, every big thing, read it Devarav Shel Gadol, all the matters of the Gadol, the big person, you should bring to me. If you have a big person, a big guy, an important person, bring that to the highest court, which in the case of the wilderness with Moshe, but in our case is the Great Sanhedrin. Hainami Gadol Hu, and this person, the Nasi, is a Gadol. He's considered to be a Gadol. So we've got a source that tells us that a Gadol should go to the highest court. So we'll understand our Mishnah. That's what the Mishnah must be talking about. Okay. So that's a possibility. The Gemara tries something else instead, as another alternative. Ula has a different view. Ola Amar Rabbi Elazar. Ola Amar says in the name of Rabbi Elazar that what we're talking about, the Ba'in al Iske Nachalot, when they come, the tribe, when a tribe comes regarding a matter of Nachalot. Nachalot means apportioning the land. Right? So when the Gemara says that the tribe is judged by the big court, you're right, the tribe is judged, but only in the case of where there's a tribal dispute about the land. And why do we go to the big court? Uketchila shel Eretz Yisrael, like the beginning of Eretz Yisrael. Matchilata shivim v'achad, afkan shivim v'achad. Just like at the beginning, the apportionment of the land was decided by 71. Right, when Yahshua divided the land between the tribes, he had this was done in front of a court of 71. So Ullah says that's also the case whenever you have a dispute about boundaries. His olive tree is going over my garden. But it's a tribal Shevet thing, right? It's not just my garden and the next. It's between Yehuda and Shimon or one of the other tribes, right? It's a tribal boundary dispute. So then that too you have to go to a court of 71. I learned that from the fact that that's what they did in the Midbar. So it makes sense also that we need a 71 court even nowadays. However, we're not happy with that answer. Why not? Because we can challenge it as follows. Ima Techilata Kalfi Urim Betumim B'chol Yisrael. If so, just like at the beginning they required the box and the Urim and Turim and the entire Jewish people were there, Afkan Kalpi Urim Betumim B'chol Yisrael. So to here you should say you require all of those measures too. If you want to say that just like the way the land was divided originally, every time you're going to decide the boundaries of the land of Israel, you have to go back to the original way it was done. So don't just take a court of 71. You also need, apparently you need, the box, which is apparently a special box. It wasn't just a box, right? The Urim and the Tumim, who were also consulted. And the whole of Israel was present, which is also apparently a crucial criteria if you're going to divide the land. And we don't have those things. So we can challenge that. So the Gemara rejects it. It says, Ela mechavata kidivrei kidivav batna. Rather, the more clear explanation is that of Rav Matna. Right? Rav Matna was the one who said it must refer to the Nasi of the tribe, the head of the tribe. But we're not done, because Ravina is going to give his view. Ravina, Amar Ravina says, Lo'olam, actually, B'shevet, Shudach, actually we can say that the Mishnah is talking about the tribe that subverted, that went to idolatry. We can say that. Udaka kashelacha, and that thing which was difficult for you. Bedina derabim dayinim lei. And that thing which was difficult for you regarding the law of judging the majority, right, of judging the many. Earlier we threw that, the reason why we threw it out is because we said it didn't really fit. Right? We saw before that what we have to say in order to go with this view, the original view that Ravina's now bringing back, we have to say that the Torah makes a differentiation between the law of an individual committing a sin and the law of a multitude committing a sin. We said we only have precedence for that in the case of idolatry. But even in the case of idolatry, our precedent for that only reaches to a numerical value of less than half the tribe. Certainly not the full tribe. Because in the law of a subverted city, the maximum number of people that fall within the criteria of making it a subverted city is less than half the tribe. So we threw out that possibility. But Ravina says, no, you can even say that it applies here. So that point that was difficult for you, Ayin, yes, you can use it. Why? Afal gav to katlina and biyachid, even though we kill an individual. No. Afal gav de katlinan biyachid, even though we kill them biyachid individually, meaning in the same way we would kill an individual, I'll explain that in a minute. Beidena durabin dainan le, we judge them in the larger court. So what's he saying? He's saying we don't need to follow the law of the subverted city. You're right. It doesn't match the law of the subverted city. Because if we wanted to follow that as a precedent, we don't have a precedent, right? Because that precedent doesn't work. That precedent doesn't give us enough numbers to allow us to judge a whole tribe in that way. That precedent only allows up to half the tribe. So we can't use that. The Gemara says, or Ravina says, but that's fine. You don't have to worry about that here. Why not? Because we're not changing the punishment. In the law of a subverted city, we change the rules. For an individual that commits idolatry...
Subverted is what? Destroyed or...?
Subverted. Sorry.
What's the word you said?
Subverted. I mean, a town that's changed itself to idolatry. Like the whole town's gone over to idolatry.
So they burn the city, no?
Yeah, so you change the law. Because in the case of idolatry, when an individual commits idolatry, so we kill him. Yeah. Nothing. But in the case where it's the whole city, not only do we kill him, we kill his donkey, we burn down his house, and we destroy everything.
We burn down the fields.
Nothing left. You're off me. Anyone who's still there, anyone who's not committing idolatry, we give them a chance to leave. And anyone who's there after you do that,
You nuke the place.
But anyone who's still...
Your child, you can
see it's yours. The Blin Eder. Not for sure, but yeah, we generally don't... Like, we have the Ben Sorer Moreh, where we have kids that we kill. So it's not an unheard of thing. There is a law that below bar mitzvah you don't have that, so you can't commit. You don't have the. But I don't know how that applies in the case of.
You can see that the child is born of relations, etc. Like other nephews, their nephews came from the parents, and they're all of an Ezra.
Right, but
the child.
But
is
can the child be? Can by Jewish law, a child can't be over an Avera. Doesn't have that. To do an Aveirah.
No, but I think that it's assumed that he's going to probably be an Idol Worshipper because he comes down from a home, from the parents, from the city, and everything of Idol Worship.
Right, and then he's like a Ben Sorer Moreh, which we're doing as a kindness to him, but we kill him now before he actually has any real Aveirahs to his name.
Yeah. I think logically speaking, if you say that you're going to burn down the fields and kill the donkeys, so you're probably going to kill the child too, no?
Probably. That's what I assume.
What did the fetal do? The fetal do?
Nachon.
It's not as many like.
Nachon, but the... Does it say anything here? No. So what are we doing here? So here we're saying that in that case, we're doing different things. So firstly, the punishment is different. We're killing and destroying and burning. And in an individual, you wouldn't do that. Individual, you just kill him. You leave his place. His donkey's fine. He's dying. Very happy. CD collection. Nobody touches it. Right? So you change the law. Not only that, you also change the method of killing them. For an individual, if he commits idolatry, you stone him. But for an Irid Dachat, you behead them all with a sword. Change the death penalty.
You don't burn them.
No, you burn down the property.
Then
you kill the sword. So never actually happened. There's no record of it ever happening. But in theory, that's what you do. So that wasn't a no. That was a. Depends how you want to describe it. A rebellious tribe. They refused to bring to justice the perpetrators of the ones who killed the
concubine.
The concubine. But only a few people did it. But you can't judge the whole tribe. The whole tribe didn't do nothing. What was their problem? They refused to bring them to justice. The other tribe said bring these people who committed this five people.
Women, children,
who did? And they had the war. In a war, that's what happened.
Children.
In a war, yeah, that happens in a war. Check the U.S. in Vietnam. They killed everyone. Those big bombs they dropped. They kill everyone.
I have pictures of them. Dropping napalm and
they didn't stand there deliberately taking each one and right, but they think in the war you.
Well, except for me, lie.
From the law, from the war.
Huh?
When you in the war.
Yeah.
In the war, from the Jewish war, you go in the war. You can the women, the children. You can only the married woman that is about the children.
Okay, so I don't know. I don't know who they killed in the war with Benjamin.
No, only 500 men were
there. 500 men left,
yeah.
And not children.
So there was no women.
Not children. No women.
No,
there were. Women. The women. There were.
No. They said
Yeah, because the women had no one to marry, but the men that were. The women were left.
So they said they changed the rule. Usually only the tribe can marry in the tribe.
Yeah.
So okay. But they made a new rule because there was nothing left. So they can take women from the other tribe. No.
But that wasn't because there were no women.
There
was
no women.
That was
so then they go and they take a woman from the other tribes.
Okay, could be.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't remember 100%.
Rabbi Eliezer?
What happened, I think, was that the men were allowed to take. Maybe there was probably someone who was still alive, but there wasn't enough. So they made an exception that they could take women from a different tribe. I think, I don't know if everyone was still alive. It wasn't enough somehow, the balance didn't work out, so they made a rule to go to a different tribe. I can't remember that.
I guess they said it's assumed to do anything with the tribe Benjamin for like a while. I don't remember exactly what, but there was some sort of point where they said, okay, now we're going to say it's Mutter.
It's a big tragedy, you know, a lot of people died. It wasn't handled properly.
It's written in the calendar, it's written over there.
Too bad.
That was on 2-5 when they said?
So that's that when they went out to the field and their wives, not fun. Okay. So back to Al-Gemara. So what are we saying? So Al-Gemara wanted to say, the initial assumption was the Gemara's. How do I understand the Mishnah? The Mishnah said the Shevet, the tribe, is judged by 71. Gemara wants to say, in what case would the tribe be judged by 71? Can't be in a normal case of any Aveira, like breaking Shabbos. Because there's no difference between an individual breaking Shabbos and a whole tribe breaking Shabbos. Right? You don't put them all into the big court just because a lot of people do something. We don't see anywhere else in the Torah where you make a difference between how many people committed the sin. If a few people committed the sin, you go to one court. If you have a lot, go to a different court. No such thing. So the Gemara says, but we do in one case. The case of idolatry, we do see that the Torah makes a difference. In a case of an individual committing idolatry, he goes to a court of 23 and you kill him. But in the case of a whole town, so that goes to the 71. So because I have that precedent, then I can say over here too, that the tribe that needs to go to the Sanhedrin, the big Sanhedrin, must be a tribe committing idolatry. So initially, the Gemara rejected that and said, sounds good, but it doesn't fit. Because if you're going to use the template of a town that committed idolatry, we see over there that the numbers don't match up. Because the numbers in that town, there were two opinions, Rabbi Yoshea and Rabbi
Yonatan.
And even Rabbi Yonatan, who was the bigger of the two opinions, still only went up to half a tribe. And here we're talking about a full tribe. So it doesn't seem to fit.
But how much is a full tribe? What about the same as a full tribe?
It depends. It doesn't really matter. But he says up to Rubo, up to the majority of the tribe. So here,
which could be 51%.
Right. So here, when it says tribe, assuming that you have to be the majority of the tribe, otherwise you're not going to say tribe. So it doesn't appear to fit with our template of less than a majority of the tribe. So we rejected it originally on those grounds. But Rabina brings it back and says, no, don't worry. You're right, it doesn't fit exactly with the template of a subverted town. But that's okay, because we're not following that same template. Because that template is different. In the case of a subverted town, we're changing the law. In the case of a subverted town, instead of just killing the individual, we're destroying all their property. And instead of killing them by stoning, we're now going to behead them all. We're going to use a sword. And that's not the case in idolatry. In a tribe. In a tribe, we're going to keep the same law. We're going to only kill the individual person and leave their tent alone. And we're still going to kill them by stoning. But we are going to move it up until the court of 71. So you can say, Ravina said, you can take the precedent of judging a multitude of idolaters in a court of 71, but you don't have to follow the whole law. You don't have to follow the whole situation. And instead, you could just take the court case and move the court case. And that's all you've done. And that's an acceptable way of learning out the Mishnah. Oh. Okay, my time, your feet, so we'll stop there.